Will the Denver Broncos announce the hiring of their next head coach this week? There is an expectation that could be the case. Who are the finalists on top of that? What are we looking forward to in the next Broncos head coach? And what are Broncos fans looking for specifically? You get that and much more from the South Stands to the End Zone on today's brand new episode, Locked On Broncos.
You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Could the next head coach of the Denver Broncos be announced this week? That is something that Broncos country has their eye on. And who could that coach be as the Broncos look to narrow down to the finalists? You get that on today's episode, Locked On Broncos, which you can get this podcast every single day, free and available everywhere you get your podcast in audio format or whether you watch on YouTube. Do us a favor, hit that subscribe or that follow button so you never miss a day's worth of Denver Broncos news, content, coverage, and more. Locked On Broncos. I'm your host, as always, Cody Rourke, Broncos reporter for Mile High Sports, joined alongside, as always, by my good friend and my co-host, Sarah Bettinger, site expert, predominantlyorange.com. Busy, busy week ahead for us here, Sarah, as the Broncos could potentially announce their next head coaching hire a little bit later this week. I know one thing we'll dive into today is how we feel the next head coach should be from a leadership standpoint, what traits they should have as the next head coach, and Broncos country also shares their thoughts, but this could be the week they make the hiring official, whoever it may be.
Could very well be, Cody. I mean, Sean Payton probably had some obligations, you know, with Fox to get the playoff games. He's got to be the big personality on there. All kidding aside, you know, with Sean, who knows what it's going to end up being. I think the Broncos, obviously, now they've interviewed all the candidates, including a ninth name, Cody, which, you know what, I don't know if it was an official interview or if, you know, Jeremy Fowler of ESPN saw that he reported. I don't know if anybody else reported it, but I saw his particular report that, man, he met with the ownership group and kind of outlined his plan. Like, hey, I mean, it seemed to go pretty well the couple weeks I was the interim coach. It kind of throws a little intrigue into this, doesn't it, Cody? I mean, Jerry Rosberg, he said, actually, it's not that I thought or that we thought it. He said he's going to go back to the cryotherapy thing that he was doing before he came to the Broncos and all these different things. But man, I mean, he made his pitch. You got to shoot your shot, right? If you're Jerry Rosberg. So I find that fascinating. I find it to be a fascinating inclusion in the ring, I guess, of names, or throw your name into the hat, however you want to look at it. I think that's one of the cooler things that we've heard in this process, that Jerry's, I mean, he's comfortable in his own skin. Obviously, he's a very confident guy, and he's going in there and saying, look, like, we made this thing go well for, I mean, it was 13 days and I made the team look way different. Imagine what I could do over a course of an entire offseason, you know? So, I mean, hey, I'm kind of intrigued and I don't know what's going to happen with it, but I think it's at least fun to hear about for sure.
I think one thing too, especially this weekend, I wonder, you know, while Broncos ownership was meeting and discussing who their finalists are, we know that Sean Payton more than likely is a perceived finalist for this job. And as our good friend Mike Klisser reported, could be 1-2-3, right? 1-2-3 doesn't mean it's going to be exactly three. It doesn't even mean there's going to be two finalists. It really could just be, hey, Sean Payton is our guy, and they may make the push to try to appeal for to be able to get him this week. So there's a lot of things we have to consider in this whole entire process this week, but I do know that the vibe around town is that the announcement could come a little bit later on this week. I like the fact that Jerry Rosberg shot his shot, because that's the only thing that you can do. He's passionate about coaching. He's passionate about leading. In my opinion, he is a transformational coach in the way that he operates and perceives things. And that's just not impacting your players' lives in a positive manner. It's also implementing things that will transform how you do your day-to-day stuff on the football field from a preparation standpoint. And as you documented, we saw him do significantly more in just 13 days than the Broncos were able to do every single game prior to that. So, hey, you know, I like that Rosberg's throwing his name to the hat. I think there could be consideration that he does stay on. What if there's this may sound wild. What if there's this weird possibility that the Broncos are all in on a guy like Sean Payton, right? And let's say they don't feel any other way really realistically about another candidate. Let's say that Ejiro Evero is somebody that they want, but not necessarily somebody that they want as a head coach being a first-year DC, but they still want him around. What if Jerry Rosberg is the guy to say, you know what, we're going to roll with Jerry, but it's going to be maybe on principle. I don't know. I think that would be wild. wild. I think that's the chances of that happening are probably like 0.01%, right? So maybe a tiny percent chance. I know it's wild when you throw it out there, but I would not be shocked in today's day and age with how the world operates, with how NFL teams operate, if the Broncos did that with Jerry. But outside of that, I think there's some other legitimate candidates. D'Amico, Ryans, in my opinion, I think if there were three, Sarah, my perceived top three would be Sean Payton. I think D'Amico, Ryans, and I also think that a guy like David Shaw is that third option. I think these might be the finalists for the Broncos job, contrary to many people thinking it's Dan Quinn. Those are my top three as I perceive it. Do you feel the same way? Do you have a different perceived top three if you were Broncos ownership at this point in time?
I do feel the same way, Cody, exactly. The exact same as you. I feel like Sean Payton is the guy that, man, he's so proven as an NFL head coach, top 25 win percentage of all time, one of the best win percentages of this, you know, generation, if you will, of football. And certainly somebody who's been to a ton of playoff games, been in a ton of big time situations. I know that people like to poke holes in every candidate, but look, like, you're not going to get a Bill Belichick, you know, out there on the open market. So let's just kind of ease up a little bit on poking the holes in these guys. I don't think anybody's perfect in this race, but at the same time, I think Sean Payton might be about as good as you're going to get as a coaching free agent, so to speak, or even somebody who's on the trade market, for which, I mean, it's not common, but I think he's about as good as you can find. I think D'Amico, Ryans, to me, he would be the one guy that I think I'd make the exception for of a first time candidate. Right. And I don't know how many people are really on board for that, but I'm not
Broncos country, opposed,
which is funny, you know, because what if he ends up being the best coach? That's the thing that I think we've got to consider, the what if, you know. So I get those comments a lot. I get those people in my mentions a lot. Like, D'Amico is off their list because he's a first time guy. I wouldn't write him off. And I would say, hey, if the Broncos don't hire him, watch who does and watch how good that program becomes, because he's going to be a good coach. David Shaw, he falls right in the middle, right? He's like, okay, well, we want an experienced head coach. Okay, here's an experienced head coach, but he's coming from the college ranks and he hasn't coached in the NFL since, what, 2005? So I think that's where the tension is going to be for a lot of the fans. But I agree with you completely. These three guys, to me, seem like three of the best leaders, the best people for the job right now to take the Broncos where they need to go.
I'm excited to see what happens this week. And obviously, if there is an announcement, you'll have an episode here, Lockdown Broncos. You have written stuff, milehighsports.com. On top of that, predominantlyorange.com, where Sarah writes. And we'll also, I think, have a press conference this week. If that is, in fact, the reality, the Broncos do hire their next head coach, when could that come? Stay tuned every step of the way here on the Locked On Broncos podcast. On today's episode of the show, what are we looking for specifically trait-wise from the next Broncos head coach? You get that on today's episode, Locked On Broncos. This episode of the show is brought to you by our friends at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy sports done right. And with the Prize Picks app, you choose 2 to 5 players that you're focused on heading into the week. These players will have a projection that's set by Prize Picks, and you simply choose whether or not they will have more or less than their Prize Picks projection, which could allow you to win 10 times your money on any entry. There's no competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections that are available. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code LOCKEDON. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you $50. Don't forget to enter promo code LOCKEDON at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. When it comes to the next head coach of the Denver Broncos, what are we hoping from a trait standpoint this new coach possesses, and what must they have? According to myself and Sarah Benninger, thank you so much, Broncos country, for tuning in and making Locked On Broncos your first listen of the day every single day, free and available everywhere you get your podcast in audio format, or you can watch us on YouTube. Check us out. Make sure you hit the subscribe button and make sure you interact with everybody else in Broncos country in the YouTube comments as well. You can always tweet us on Twitter Twitter, at Cody Rourke NFL, at Sarah Bettinger, at Lockdown Broncos. If you want to talk all things Broncos content, we have you covered here. Sarah, my friend, what would we like to see from the next head coach when it comes to traits, right? And I think we can go through a lot of cliches, right? We could talk about leadership. Well, I always think you have to boil it down. What is leadership? What type of leadership are you going to have? Now, for me, I'll share mine, and I'm eager for yours, and I'm eager for what you have in response to maybe what I say here, but I believe the next Broncos head coach has to be a transformative leader, right? Transformational leadership is important, and what is entailed in that, right? Being adaptive, being open-minded, but what does that mean, and how can the Broncos avoid some of the mistakes of the past? I think that Denver has to avoid the narcissist coach, which for many people out there, you're like, what is this guy talking about right now? Now, in coaching and dynamics, right, this could be from coaching sports or it could just be business leadership. Anytime you have somebody with a narcissist approach as a leader, it's all about them. It's not about the success of the team, right? If there's success on the team, oftentimes this person says, well, that's because of me. Look at me, the fancy play caller, the smart defensive mind. And a lot of the credit goes towards the coach and not necessarily the players that are on field performing. I think a great example of the narcissist coach, the Broncos had this back in 2009, 2010, and it was Josh McDaniels. He is the definition of a narcissist coach, and I think the Broncos have to avoid that. But I also think the Broncos have to avoid this next one, which is the coach who has the Messiah complex, right? And when we talk about Messiah, there's the savior element to it. And this is described. I read a book when I was going through my master's program from Joe Ehrman. You know, for him, he used to play in the NFL. He's a coach. He believes in transformational stuff. He's from Inside Out Coaching. I thought he had a really good quote here that I want to share with people. And I think that this really kind of encompassed what was Nathaniel Hackett. He says here, coaching can draw on the type of person who wants to save the world and actually excessively empathizes with players. Players need boundaries, rules, and regulations. Players need to be helped, but part of help is teaching them how to resolve problems on their own instead of rescuing them so the coach can feel needed. And this is where you kind of befriend your players versus doing what's right with the team, which makes, I think, something that I kind of put in there about accountability. That makes accountability hard. And ultimately, that's the trap that Nathaniel Hackett fell into, despite the fact that he had really good intentions. So accountability, adaptive, open-minded, these are important for the next Broncos head coach, in my opinion. Now, Sarah, what are your traits that you're most looking forward to saying that the Broncos' next head coach must have?
Well, I love that you said that leadership has to be defined, because it truly does. And we could do an entire podcast on that, I feel like, just because of the things that you and I have both experienced in our, our young lives at this point. I think that leadership, it's so important for everybody that's in the organization to understand what's the vision, what's the culture, where are we going, and who's the one that's taking us there. There has to be a vision carrier for an organization. And so your leader, your head coach, your owner, your quarterback, they have to be your vision carriers, but the head coach has to be the one that's going to take people everywhere that you're going. I think a great example of this would be like a Kyle Shanahan, who he's a great offensive mind. He could easily drift into this realm of, well, he's a great offensive play caller, but is he really a great head coach? You know why I know he's a great head coach, Cody? Because everybody wants to pick apart his staff every single year. And almost every one of those guys, or a high rate of those guys, have success wherever they go. So I think that he's definitely done a great job of implementing, hey, this is what we're doing. This is why we do it. This is how we do it. This is why it works. This is, how you learn and grow. I was reading a thing about, because a lot of people talk about how Dan Quinn hired, Kyle Shanahan. And so I wanted to look into that a little bit. I wanted to see, what was that situation? Did he recruit Kyle? It was more so Kyle wanted to be part of Dan Quinn's team at the time. Why? Because he wanted to learn that Seattle defense, and he wanted to understand, I've had trouble going up against this. I want to work for the guy who is the architect of it, and I want to see how he operates. And so then what does Kyle do? 2 years later, he gets his head coaching job, and he brings Dan Quinn's disciple Robert Saleh with him to San Francisco. And what is Robert Saleh doing right now? He's got a dominant defense out there in New York. So what do I say? What do I mean when I'm talking about that? I'm talking about somebody who understands a vision, who can implement it, who can get people to work with him and for him, who understand that vision and want to follow along and be part of that. And so I think that's a huge thing in terms of just football and team building. Understanding your personnel and how to best utilize guys in every phase, I think, is so important. And we saw man, how many examples did we see the opposite end of that in the last couple of years with Pat Shurmur sending Jerry Jeudy in motion every other play, it seemed like, or, you know, when you have Albert O riding the bench, or you have, you know, X, Y, and Z on either side of the ball. I mean, you could even go back to, remember DeMarcus Walker playing the edge position under Vance Joseph. Like, that was a ridiculous error. It was a huge mistake. And I think that if you have a head coach that doesn't understand personnel, how to maximize talent, you really run into problems. And that's one of the biggest reasons I think you could advocate for Sean Payton, Cody, is because he has done a tremendous job throughout his career of utilizing personnel from a shorter quarterback like Drew Brees, who wasn't supposed to have a ton of NFL success in the pocket, to making him a 5,000-yard QB, to then having Taysom Hill come in and run a productive offense. It was the complete opposite kind of guy. So it's just an interesting note, I think, to make. But also the third thing that I would say, you make smart decisions in key moments, and that can be during games. It could be off the field. It could be a decision with when to bench a guy or when to take a guy off the healthy inactive list, you know, different things like that, to say, hey, we're going to make the right decision in this key moment because we're actually being attentive to every detail of this team, of this roster, of, you know, whether it's analytics or whether it's just going off your gut instincts, you know, all these different things, like we saw Jerry Rosberg do, where he's like, I don't understand why this guy's not playing at tight end. Like, he looks great in practice and he's doing a great job. I don't understand why Justin Allen's not calling plays. I don't understand why Montrell's back there returning punts when he's making all these mistakes. You could go up and down the list, just wise decision-making, you know, from a head coach, somebody that understands how to manage the team and maximize personnel and understands leadership from a vision carrying perspective, and getting people not to just fall in line with everything you say, but to buy into what you're doing.
I think those are spot on needs, right? And while you and I are talking about it, like, we outlined so many things that we believe a coach must have and that this next head coach should have, the reality of the situation, a lot of great coaches have these things in them. And if they don't have it in one area, they have the ability to delegate, right? And I think the biggest frustration with Nathaniel Hackett, he always said, it starts with me, it starts with the coaches. We're all about accountability, but we never saw accountability being put forth with the on-field product, especially with him being a play caller. There was never any sense of real accountability, and a real coach and a transformational coach is going to do that. And it's not going to be personal. It's going to be about every decision that they make. I like that you mentioned vision carrying, because that is so essential in the modern world. Whether you're, you know, a business leader, whether you're a head coach of a team, you have to be a vision carrier, and you have to be able to instill that to where you plant seeds that other people will carry with that vision with you. To me, I think that is very important, and I'll be very intrigued to see once the head coaching hire is announced. We'll cross-reference things that we said, things that we talked about, and maybe compare and contrast. Does this coach have this? Has this coach demonstrated this wherever he was in the past? That's something I'm looking forward to breaking down here on Locked On Broncos. Speaking of Broncos country, Broncos country chimed in over the weekend with the traits and the things that they most want to see out of the next head coach, including stopping division rivals. You'll get that on today's episode, Locked On Broncos. This episode of the show is brought to you by our friends at FanDuel. The NFL playoffs are here, and we're really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On, because they're the number one sports book in America, FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better, because they have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. New customers, join today to get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel has all your favorite bets, from the money line to point spreads to player props. Plus, you can even combine your bets at a chance at a bigger payout with a same game parlay, all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So football fans, don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Broncos country is passionate about the on-field product. They're also passionate about players. They're passionate about the team that they root for every single Sunday. But one thing that they are passionate about is the traits that this next head coach for the organization must have in the eyes of Broncos country. Thank you so much, Broncos country, for tuning in and making Lockdown Broncos your first listen of the day every single day, free and available everywhere you get your podcast in audio format or whether you watch us on YouTube. Sarah, we polled every member of Broncos country to ask them what are some of the traits that they had. We had some really good responses. We had some that, you know, weren't too serious necessarily. We had some Chiefs fans jumping in saying that they were wishing, you know, that they have the stubbornness of Vic Fangio, that they have the game management of Vance Joseph, and they have the offensive play calling prowess of Nathaniel Hackett. That was very funny, by the way. I'm glad that they were able to throw some barbs in there, but you know what? The Broncos need to get back on track. One thing, and I think these are just consistent ones, right? I couldn't share. We had over 65 responses to this. I couldn't share every single one, but I kind of went down the list that Broncos country sent in, and I kind of tallied the most common ones that we saw. First off, accountability, right? We talked about that. What does accountability look like? Not only just for players, but what does it look like for coaches? What does it look like for the head coach who is responsible for steering the ship of the operation? I think we can all agree that it's very important, and Denver didn't have that realistically until Jerry Rosberg stepped in and kind of implemented a lot of change that was necessary for this football team. But I also want to touch on one that we did get a lot, and I understand where Broncos fans are super passionate about this. They want somebody who wants to destroy division rivals. Part of me on this one, Sarah, you were never ever, we don't see this happen at all in the NFL, but you were never ever going to hear an NFL coach say, I hate the, you know, Kansas City Chiefs. I hate the Las Vegas Raiders. I hate the Los Angeles Chargers. They're, you know, coaches aren't going to say that. That's not how you operate from a PR standpoint. I think there's other ways you can put it out there that, hey, we have to take it to them. These are division rivals. Don't let them punk you, which has been the case for the Broncos the last couple of years. So they want somebody who knows how to do that. But I don't know if they're going to get it in the way that they actually want to hear it from a potential head coach.
I think it would be hilarious, Cody. I think it would be fun to see and hear just a coach come in and just be like, you know what? We want to go out there and stomp the Chiefs. But you know what? You're right. Maybe the players will take care of that. If anybody hasn't heard yet, Quinn Meinerz, he had a soundbite earlier, right at the end of the season there where he, you know, he was, I can't remember. So the Chiefs were doing some like ring around the rosy thing against the Raiders or some bull crap like that. And he was pretty ticked off about that. And I thought that was great. I want these guys to have more reasons to hate the Chiefs. You're right, though. We probably won't hear that from a coach. It's probably going to be all respect, which quite frankly, I mean, Andy Reid, those guys, they deserve a ton of respect. Josh McDaniels, I don't know about that. You know, maybe you can take some jabs at the Raiders there. But at any rate, I think it's imperative that somebody comes in and doesn't just hang Win the West in the rafters of the practice facility, right? You got to come in and you got to actually emphasize, you know what? It starts with us figuring out a way to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. Not saying the previous coaches haven't said that, but Cody, I was doing a little trip down memory lane a couple days ago on my Facebook page, and I came across a selfie of me and Alex Smith. He was making some goofy face at the end of the Broncos Chiefs game from 2015 as like a, you know, like a very confused face. And I was like, dang, like this photo that I have of me taking a selfie with my TV is the last time the Broncos beat the Chiefs. Somebody's got to hate that as much as I do, as much as you do. You know, it's miserable. It's been 7 going on, you know, 8 years at this point. It's going to be 8 years between wins by the time the Broncos at the very least. So I hope somebody does come in and they maybe behind closed doors, you know, they talk about wanting to stomp these division rivals. I think everybody really wants to hear it about the Chiefs because the Broncos have beat the Chargers. They could beat the Raiders and, you know, they're the Raiders. You know, it's what right now everybody wants to beat the Chiefs and everybody wants the Broncos head coach and players to hate the Chiefs as much as we do.
Well, I think that they do, right? But I just think they're never going to say it, right? Because imagine your head coach comes out and says, I hate these guys and hope we destroy them. Bulletin board material. Then if you don't do that, then you become a meme, right? You don't want to become a meme in 2023. That's for anybody saying anything there. Some other ones that we receive from Broncos fans, I think, you know, good communicators, some other like personable ones, personable traits, but I also think it kind of carries on with your vision carrying philosophy that you mentioned in a previous segment. Somebody who is an identity builder, right? This Broncos football team needs an identity besides just having a really good defense. There needs to be an identity for all three facets of the Broncos operation, you know, from offense, special teams, and defense. It's got to be a collective effort, but there needs to be an identity that is set there. Denver didn't have an identity on offense or special teams this past season, and that was something I think impacted them in several facets. On top of that, we hear the word disciplined. Sarah, I think this example is kind of great because you have kids. I do not. And when I was coaching, this was an example that I used. Do as I say, not as I do, but you also need to do the things that you want your kids to do, right? Or that the people that you're leading to do as well. So I think that kind of ties into maybe this coaching element as well for what Broncos country truly hopes for in their next head coach. And I'll say one thing. This is going to be the most important hire that the Broncos, that the Walton Penner family ownership group make, probably in their entirety as controlling owners of the Broncos, because this for them has the chance to set the foundation for the future, to reset the expectation, right? When Pat Bowlen took over the Denver Broncos, it was, we are going to win football games, and he made moves to make that happen. That needs to be the case here at the Walton Penner family ownership group going forward with whoever this next head coach is. You can't afford to be back having the same conversation in 2 years from now, not even 3 years. I would even argue to say not even 4 years from now. You need a head coach to make it through his entire coaching contract with the possibility of an extension before you move on. To me, that is going to be a very big test for this Broncos franchise as they go forward. And you know, one thing is for certain, Sarah Bettinger, myself, will have you covered every step of the way here on the Lockdown Broncos podcast. And we just want to say thank you so much, everybody, for making us your first listen of the day. When you wake up in the morning, you go to work, you go to the gym, you have breakfast, you make your morning cup of coffee, or if you catch us in the afternoon, thank you for making us your first listen, because we have you covered with up-to-date Denver Broncos news, analysis, content, discussion, and more, all in one place, and that is Locked On Broncos. Broncos country, thank you so much. We'll be back tomorrow for a brand new episode of the show. The latest in the Broncos head coaching search. Could they dwindle their list down? Could they make an announcement sooner rather than later? You'll get that on tomorrow's episode of the show.